أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. وأصول معاملة الخلق سبعة: الحلم والعاف والتواضع والسخاء والشفقة والنصح والعدل والإنصاف. Continuing with the hadith of Misbah al-Sharia, we are now discussing the principles of conduct in relation to people, conduct in relation to God, conduct in relation to our nafs. We discussed now conduct in relation to people, and the first one was forbearance or helm, which we discussed. The second one is af, forgiveness. Forgiveness, of course, is a quality which everyone likes. It is the opposite of revenge. It's the opposite of taking people into task for what they do. This is forgiveness. We have lots of noise from this side. If ladies, please. There's a verse in the Quran, Surah A'raf, towards the end of Surah A'raf. خذ العاف وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. Assume forgiveness as your permanent quality. خذ العاف وأمر بالعرف. And bid people to do anything which is regarded to be good. This is urf. وأعرض عن الجاهلين. Turn away from the ignorant, the rash people. Do not retaliate. Whatever they do, whatever they say, you do not bring yourself down to the level to try to retaliate what they do. Now, this verse, when this verse was revealed to the Prophet, Prophet asked Jibreel, قال عليه السلام يا جبرائيل ما هذا. What's the meaning of this? What sort of manner, what sort of akhlaq is this? خذ العاف, assume forgiveness as your permanent quality. وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. قال يا محمد إن ربك يقول. The Lord says, the meaning of this, أن تصل من قطعك. This is af, this is forgiveness. Whoever cuts relation with you, you join with them. Do not retaliate. Sometimes our retaliations just take us further and further away from each other. I don't talk to you, you don't talk to me. Then, well, why should I start talking to you? Then, of course, there are things that you have in mind about me that probably I have wronged you. I have things about you, you have wronged me. And then this would build up, escalate. And then what will happen is that the escalation would lead to complete tension and problem between people. أن تصل من قطعك وتؤتي من حرمك. people who do not give you, deprive you, you give them. Again, do not retaliate. This is wa'amur bil urf. Beat people to do good. وَتَعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ذَلَمَكْ. This is turn away from the ignorant. If anyone wrongs you, forgive them. If anyone is impolite to you, you should be polite with them. Do not retaliate. This is, of course, one of the most important qualities of the believers. Now, let me tell you a story in the Quran. You may not believe this. Just reflect on this story and just imagine how far this forgiveness should go. How far? Sometimes we think that forgiveness has a limit. We forgive up to a limit. After that, we cannot forgive anymore. It's not like that. The companions or someone asked Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, to what extent we have to forgive? How many times? He said, to the extent that you wish God would forgive you. We want God always to forgive us. You know, in the morning, we do something wrong, we ask forgiveness. In the evening, we do something wrong, we ask forgiveness. Tomorrow again, the day after, Allah continues to forgive. So to the extent that you love God to forgive you, you forgive people. Now, the story in the Quran goes like this. Once, in one of the journeys of the Prophet, one of his wives, due to certain confusion, was left behind. And you know, in that time, of course, in the desert, if someone was left behind, it would have been death. And people thought that she is sitting in her cabin on the camel. They didn't realize that she was out. So the caravan left. They went. After a few hours, one of the very pious companions of the Prophet appeared with the wife of the Prophet. He actually, after the caravan had left, he was coming behind. He found that wife of the Prophet. I don't name because there's disagreement which wife she was. Wife of the Prophet, she found in the desert. Ya Ummul Mu'mineen, what are you doing here? O mother of the faithful, alone in the desert? She said, I was left behind. He said, okay, ride on the camel. And he just took the camel's rein and arrived in the caravan or in Medina. Of course, the hypocrites were all waiting for such occasions. They started to say, wow, you know why the wife of Prophet was left behind? She was not left behind. She had some secrets with that man. And they went beyond that. Not only secrets, actually she committed adultery with that man. A couple of people, when I say a couple, 3-4 people were the core of the hypocrites. They made this story, and then with fascinating speed, they spread it in the whole Medina. And the mu'minun, because this was something extraordinary, they started to talk about it. Wow, wife of the Prophet, adultery. How come? It's not possible. Now, here, three sides were hurt very badly. First, the poor wife of the Prophet, the innocent wife of the Prophet. Of course, she bore the brunt of the accusation. Secondly, the Prophet himself, they say, during all this event, which took about a month until the verses of the Quran were revealed about the occasion. Prophet did not smile. He was so upset about this. So the second. Third, the community of the believers. How is it possible? Wife of the prophet? It's impossible. It's not imaginable. How would prophet marry a wife which commits such an indecent act? Now, after a couple of weeks or about a month, there are different stories about it, different reports. The verses were revealed. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. Those who made this slander, this accusation, they are a core group of munafiqun. Do not worry. Don't think this was bad for you. This is good for you because now you have realized what has happened. The Quran does not criticize that core. Of course, that core is Allahum Azabun Azim. We'll punish them. We'll punish them in hereafter. The mu'minun, the Quran criticizes. Why did you accept such a story at all? إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسَنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You just took it from each other's mouth, you repeated it, you said it, and you thought, well, it said, we are not actually verifying it, but it said that this has happened, and you thought that just repeating it is something easy. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. This was great with Allah. And then Allah says, we have forgiven you. Now, there were several people in Medina from Muhajirun. They were not hypocrites, they were Mu'minun. However, they actually served this conspiracy most. They took it to different quarters of Medina. Yes, wife of the Prophet, have you heard the news? Wife of the Prophet, have you heard the news? What has happened? Prophet is very upset. Prophet is not smiling. Prophet is not seen happy at all. The news went. Now, after the verses were revealed, those rich people in Medina who were actually supporting the Muhajirun, the poor people, these people who actually spread this slander, they decided we are not going to spend anything anymore on them. They do not deserve anything from us. You know, Muhajirun were poor, of course. They had come to Medina. They didn't have anything. They were living on the support of Ansar. Now, these Ansar decided, they said that that's end of it. You accuse wife of the Prophet of adultery, and still we have to support you, we have to sustain you. We're not going to do that. They sweared that after this, we are not going to give them a penny. Now, look how the Quran takes it. وَلَا يَأْتَ لِأُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا الْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those of you who are wealthy, do not stop giving. Those poor muhajirin who spread this news, do not stop giving them. Give them. فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Forgive. Forget. It's not just forgive. Forgive and forget. فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not like that Allah would forgive you? If you like that, then why shouldn't you forgive these people? Now, let's place ourselves in that context. Suppose we were those wealthy people in Medina who were supporting these poor Muhajirun who spread this news. And they did not stop. People told them, stop repeating this. This is not right. This is not correct. Look how Prophet is affected. Look how the community of the believers is affected. They did not stop. Now, after all that had happened, Allah says to those well-to-do people in Medina, do not stop supporting them. Give them. Forgive them. Forget about it at all. This is the extent of forgiveness. This is the extent of it. Sometimes we think that there are certain things would happen that we cannot forgive at all. No, there is no such a thing. We can't forgive. Only, there's one condition here. There's one caveat. Only if forgiveness leads to corruption in society, then there is no forgiveness. You forgive, and that person would be emboldened and somehow create corruption in society, kill people, plunder people. There's no point for it. And that's why the law does not forgive. Personally, we have to forgive, but the law cannot forgive. Because law is to preserve the order in society. And that's why in Surah Shura, you see that when Allah praises the mu'minun, He says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُهُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. Those who are wronged, they retaliate. Then He says, of course, forgiveness is better. However, this retaliation is only in the situation when it leads to corruption in society. So we shouldn't confuse between the two. When it comes to law, law cannot forgive. When it comes to our personal matters, yes, of course, why can't we forgive? Forgiveness somehow relieves the heart. Remember this hadith from Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam? Of course, this I have to say it on Laylatul Qadr, on the night of Qadr. However, it's very beautiful. It is mentioned in hadith that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, during the year, any one of his servants, of his family members, of his friends, anyone, especially those who were bondsmen, slaves, of course there were slavery at that time, Islam would actually did legislate rules to abolish slavery in a gradual manner. Now, especially with his slaves, when they were rash against him, because of course he had a very calm temper, and everyone felt that, well, we are safe, we can do whatever we want. Now, Imam remembered all this. He didn't say anything. Remembered all this. On the night of Qadr, on the 23rd, especially the third night of Qadr, 23rd of Ramadan, Imam gathered all his servants and family members. Then he said, I have not forgotten what you have done to me. And I can actually name and count it, who has done what. Now, not only I want to forgive all of you, but I want to free all of you. And of course, the family members forgiven, the slaves forgiven and freed. And then he said, I do this in the hope. Then, of course, he raised his hands. Ya Allah, O God, you are a witness. They have wronged me. I have forgiven them. I have lots of wrongs. You forgive me. This was the way he actually encountered his Lord. So if we wish, if we really want Allah to forgive us, we have to be forgiving. We cannot be very strict, do not forgive anyone, and then we expect that God forgives us. Let me mention a very beautiful hadith here about the Day of Judgment. Of course, we don't know how the Day of Judgment is. All these things which are said about Day of Judgment are in our language. In our language. Otherwise, it's a quite completely different plane of creation, different plane of existence. It is said in our language. Again, an Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam, Abu Hamza al-Thumali reports from Imam Zainul Abidin. He said, when the day of judgment comes, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would gather all the people from the beginning of creation to the end of the creation, fi sa'idan wahid, in one plane. And then an angel will call, Aina ahlul fadl? Where are the people of merit? Where are the people of merit? And a group of people would rise and say, we are the people of merit. And of course, on that day, no one can lie. فَيَقُولُونَ وَمَا كَانَ فَضْلُكُمْ What was your merit in the world? What was your merit? فَيَقُولُونَ كُنَّا نَسْلُ مَنْ قَطَعَنَا وَنُعْطِيَ مَنْ حَرَمَنَا وَنَعْفُوَ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَنَا Whoever did cut from us, cut off relation with us, we joined with him. Whoever deprived us of their giving, we gave them. And whoever wronged us, we forgave them. Then the angel said, Sadaqtum, you are right. This is great merit. Enter paradise. Before everyone else, you enter paradise. You know, not all of us enter paradise at once. People will be kept based on their actions. Some of us, after the day of resurrection, will enter paradise in blink of an eye. Some of us would enter paradise after a year. Some after a couple of years. Some of us after 1,000 years. This is for those who enter paradise, not for those who go to hell. For those who go to paradise. And some of us will be kept 50,000 years in limbo. We don't know whether at the end of these 50,000 we are going to go to paradise or we're going to go to hell until Allah will forgive us. So, you want to go to paradise quickly? You want to go to paradise VIP line? This is the way. Forgive, give, forgive, and do not cut off with anyone. The other quality mentioned in relation to the way we have to behave with people is humbleness, tawadhu. Now, humbleness is a quality that we should have both towards God and towards people. About humbleness towards God, I have mentioned several traditions before. Humbleness to people. Let me mention you one story. This is about a people who were going to Hajj. They were coming from north, they were going to Hajj. A young man joined them in Medina. And as soon as this young man joined them, they saw that this young man is serving everyone. Anyone in any need, this young man rushes to do it. Just like a servant, just like a slave, he was doing all these things. Then in the middle of the way, after a while, they had traveled from Medina towards Mecca. It took about 8 to 10 days. After a few days, someone joined them. And he saw this young man was serving humbly everyone. He said, do you know who this young man is who's serving you? They said, no. This young man joined us in Medina. And from there, he doesn't allow us to do anything. He serves us all through. He said, this is Ali ibn al-Husayn, Zainul Abidin. This is Zainul Abidin, the son of the grandson of the Prophet. Wow, everyone was scared. Ya Allah, this grandson of the Prophet was serving us all through and we did not realize. They went to him. They wanted to kiss his hand, bow before him. Why did you do this to us? Why didn't you let us know you are Zainul Abidin? He said, this man ruined the whole journey for me. I had the intention to join you because you didn't know me, to serve you. And now, of course, you do not allow me to serve you. You want to serve me because I'm grandson of the prophet now. Now, of course, the story has another side, but the side of humbleness. How a person can be humble, no matter where they have reached, they can be humble. Man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever humbles themselves for Allah, Allah would raise them. Whoever is arrogant, Allah would bring them down. In our time, look at the example of Imam Khomeini and Saddam Hussein. These are very, very living examples before our eyes. An arrogant man, a humble man. Allah raised one and made the other to descend in all eyes, everyone's eyes. Now let me mention another very beautiful story. You know, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, rahmatullah alayhi, the great companion of the Prophet, cousin of the Prophet, cousin of Amirul Mu'minin, brother of Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, he was with the first group who migrated to Abyssinia due to the tortures and hardships that Muslims were enduring in the hands of the kuffar. They had to migrate to Abyssinia, to Habasha. Now, there, the king, the Abyssinian king, was a very committed Christian, very committed Christian. And when these people went to him, he said, what is your religion? What is your faith? What does your prophet say? And they talked about the merits of the prophet, verses of the Quran, especially they recited for him Surah Maryam, what the Quran says about Maryam and Isa alayhi salam. And of course, as soon as listening to them and hearing these things, Najashi believed, but he had to hide his belief because he was the king and people would not accept it. So he hid his belief. And about him, the Quran says, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. When they hear the verses that Allah has revealed, you see tears flow from their eyes because they have recognized haq. They have recognized rights, what is right. Now, he believed, but he concealed that, he didn't reveal it. Ja'far, of course, later on he returned to Medina. He says, one day, Najashi summoned me. His name, of course, the title of the kings were Najashi, like Pharaoh for Egypt, Najashi for Abyssinia. He said, Najashi summoned me. The guards ushered me to a room. I entered the room. I saw that Najashi is sitting on the ground with a threadbare clothes, very sort of old clothes, old threadbare, patched ones. I was amazed. Oh, this king who always sat on the golden throne with all those brocaded dressings now is sitting on the floor with this sort of threadbare clothes. I said, what has happened, my king? Anyone has passed away of you? What has happened? He said, no. Alhamdulillah alladhi nasara Muhammadan wa aqarra aynah. I am praising the Lord who gave victory to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My eyes, my spies just brought me the news that in a place called Badr, your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam defeated your enemies, and such prominent people were killed, such and such people were captured. And this is a great victory. I want to show my gratitude to the Lord. And look what he says. This is very beautiful. He says that when we ask him, why then, if this is happiness, why are you sitting on the ground? Why are you wearing this clothing? He said, Ya Ja'far, inna najudu fima anzalallah ala Isa alayhi salam. We have read in the books revealed to Isa, to Jesus, peace be on him, inna min haqqillahi ala ibadih an yuhdithu lahu tawadu'an indama yuhdithu lahum ni'matan. It is written from Jesus alayhi salam, whenever Allah renews a ni'mah for you, you have to renew your humbleness to him. You have to renew your tawadu. And because this was a great bounty, the news which came to me, now I am renewing my humbleness towards the Lord, showing humbleness. Now look, how do we show our happiness when a ni'mah is given to us? We just indulge ourselves. How do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because Christmas is a ni'mah. The birth of Christ is a ni'mah, is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we celebrate it? Because of a ni'mah of Allah. How do we celebrate it? I mean generally, indulging ourselves, forgetting God. This is how we celebrate. This is why in Islam, every Eid, listen carefully, this is very important. Every Eid, every celebration is accompanied with fast, isn't it? Except, of course, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, because Eid al-Fitr is end of fast. However, we are taught Eid al-Fitr, you have to spend it with Zikrullah, and that's why we have Salatul Eid. Why do we have Salatul Eid? It's showing humbleness to Allah, renewing humbleness. So whenever we see new ni'mah from Allah, a renewed humbleness. Inshallah, we'll continue with this tomorrow night. And we pray that Allah would give us the type of manners and akhlaq that He likes in His servants. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. چند کلمه به زبان فارسی عرض کنم. حدیثی رو اینجا درباره تواضع داریم از کتاب شریف کافی. مرحوم کلینی از امام صادق روایت میکنه، میگه وقتی که جعفر ابن ابو طالب در حبشه مهاجر بود، ابتدا قبل از مهاجرت به مدینه، میدونید مسلمین دوبار دو گروه به حبشه مهاجرت کردن از سختی هایی که کفار بر اونها داشتن. میگه یک روز نجاشی جعفر ابن ابی طالب رو احضار کرد. خب اتفاق میافتاد، زیاد اتفاق میافتاد که نجاشی احضار میکرد جعفر ابن ابی طالب، چون رهبر گروه مهاجرین بود به همراه کل اصحاب. خب این ماموران اومدن اینا رو بردن غیر اون اتاق تالاری که همیشه نجاشی روی تخت زرین خودش میشست، بردن توی اتاقی. اینا دیدن که نجاشی روی زمین نشسته، تو بعضی روایات داریم که روی خاکستر نشسته، روی خاک نشسته، یک لباس بسیار کهنه و مندرسی رو به تن داره و داره ذکر خدا میگه. خیلی تعجب کردن، چی شده نجاشی، چرا اینجوری نشسته، این چه حالتی است؟ وحشت کردن، گفتن ای پادشاه معظم، این چه حالتی است، چرا اینجوری نشستید؟ ترسیدن نکنه کسی از دنیا رفته، چیزی شده؟ گفت نه، به شما میخوام یک بشارتی بدم، از شما رو برای همین احضار کردن اینجا، میخوام به شما یک بشارتی بدم. چه بشارتی؟ گفت که جاسوسان من در نزدیکی مدینه برای من خبر آوردن امروز که جنگی بین پیغمبر شما و اهل مکه واقع شده در جایی به نام بدر، و در این جنگ سران مشرکین همه کشته شدند و گروهی هم اسیر شدند. اسماشون هم گفت کی و کی و کی اسیر شدند، چون در واقع پادشاه بود، جاسوسا وقتی خبر می آوردن خبر دقیق می آوردن دیگه. اینا هم کشته شدن، اینا هم اسیر شدن. و من از خوشحالی این امر اینجا نشستم. جعفر تعجب کرد. میدونن جعفر برادر امیرالمومنین بود دیگه، جعفر ابن ابی طالب. تعجب کرد، گفت ایها الملک فمالی اراک جالسا علی التراب و علیک هذه الخلقان. اگر این خبر خوش رسیده چرا روی خاک نشستید؟ این لباسا چیه به تنتون کردید؟ گفت که انا نجد فیما انزل الله علی عیسی علیه السلام ان من حق الله علی عباده. در وحی که به عیسی علیه السلام شده ما اینطوری خواندیم که حق خدا بر بندگان اینه که اگر نعمتی رو بر بنده تجدید کرد، نعمت جدیدی به بنده داد، بنده باید در مقابل خدا تواضع خودش رو تجدید بکنه، تواضع جدیدی نشان بده به خداوند. و چون این نعمت پیروزی پیغمبر نجاشی میدانید مسلمان شد همون اول، ولی این رو مکتوم نگه داشت. حتی وقتی از دنیا رفت پیغمبر با وحی خبردار شد و براش ترحم کرد، رحمت فرستاد بهش، پادشاه حبشه. میگه چون این پیروزی خیلی بزرگ بود من خواستم تواضع خودم رو نسبت به خدا تجدید کنم. درسته من پادشاهم، روی تخت زرین میشینم، لباسهای زربافت میپوشم، اما الان وقت تواضع کردن در مقابل خداست. من از خاکم و باید این رو نشان بدم، این تواضع. بعدش میفرمایند که وقتی که این خبر به پیغمبر رسید، بعد که جعفر برگشت از مهاجرت، از هجرت برگشتن و آمدن، و این خبر به پیغمبر رسید که نجاشی چه کار کرده، روز فتح بدر نجاشی چه کار کرده. حالا داستانی هم داره که دیگه الان وقت نداریم عرض بکنیم. پیغمبر فرمودن که چند چیز فرمودن. ان الصدقه تزید صاحبها کثرتا فتصدقوا. صدقه فقط مال رو زیاد میکنه، کم نمیکنه، پس صدقه بدید. ما بعضی وقتا فکر میکنیم اگه صدقه بدیم، افطار بدیم، قربانی بدیم، مستمندان رو کمک کنیم، مالمون کم میشه. دقیقاً برعکسه، هر چه بیشتر بدیم مالمون بیشتر میشه. صدقه مال رو زیاد میکنه، صدقه بدید. یرحمکم الله. و ان التواضع یزید صاحبه رفعتا فتواضعوا یرفعکم الله. تواضع تنها کاری که میکنه مقام انسان رو بالا میبره. پس تواضع کنید مقامتون رو خدا بالا ببره. همین نجاشی رو ببینید، این که تواضع کرده. آیا هیچ پادشاهی در قرآن به خوبی به نیکی یاد کرده؟ این نجاشی رو خدا در قرآن به نیکی یاد کرده. این آیه که میگه اذا سمعوا ما انزل الله ما انزل علی الرسول ترى اعینهم تفیض من الدمع. این مدح نجاشیه خداوند کرده در قرآن. تواضع کرد، خدا بلندش کرد. و ان العفو یزید صاحبه عزن فعفو یعزکم الله. عفو و گذشت فقط عزت انسان رو زیاد میکنه، پس ببخشید تا خدا عزتتون رو زیاد کنه. انتقام فقط انسان رو از چشم مردم کم میکنه، میندازه. عفو عزت انسان رو زیاد میکنه. پروردگارا به حق محمد و آل محمد، همونطور که ما رو به عفو امر کردی، همونطور که عفو دوست داری، همونطور که خود تو منشأ همه عفو عالمی، در این ماه شریف از تقصیرات ما بگذر و ما را عفو کن. به حق محمد و آل محمد امر فرج ولی عصر نزدیک بگردان. و صلی الله علی محمد و آله الطاهرین.